if I can come to know what they do know, that fall is the release, the consummation, then fear of time and uncertain fruit would not distemper the great lucid skies this strangest autumn, mellow and acute. If I can take the dark with open eyes and call it seasonal, not harsh or strange, for love itself may need a time of sleep. And tree-like stand unmoved before the change, lose what I lose to keep what I can keep. The strong root still alive under the snow. Love will endure if I can let you go. I'd like to invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me in singing together hymn 1014 in your teal hymnal. Well, I will be here next Sunday also, but today is my last sermon for you as your intern minister. And so I want to talk with you this morning about love and change and loss. Love, change, and loss. And I want to talk about how love, change, and loss are what church community is really all about. A little over 40 years ago, psychiatrists Thomas Holmes and Richard Rahe examined over 5,000 medical records and polled patients for information on 43 significant life events that those patients had had in the previous year, events such as death, divorce, and the loss of a job. From this research, Holmes and Rahe developed a stress scale that shows how these major life events correlate to stress and how they can be used to predict illness. What was surprising about this research is how even positive life events can contribute to stress. Reconciliation with a spouse or partner, retirement, improved finances, buying a house, arguing less with your spouse or partner, getting more sleep at night, taking a vacation even, taking the vacation that's supposed to help alleviate your stress also contributes to your stress. Every life event on the stress scale represents a change. The scale is usually administered by asking, how many of these events have happened in your life in the past 12 months? So these aren't permanent, ongoing stressors. Most of us eventually adapt to change, hopefully. So it's not that buying a house permanently stresses us out. It's just the time of change that is so stressful. I wrote this not thinking about you guys. Here's an extended analogy of the house buying. The shift from one way of being to a new and different way of being. The shift from being a renter to being a homeowner. The need to adjust, usually, to a greater financial responsibility. The move from one home to another, and all the change that involves. New grocery stores, new neighbors, new driving routes to work. And perhaps there's also grief about what's left behind. The simplicity of being a renter. The ability to just phone the landlord when there's some kind of problem. The freedom to move somewhere new if you want to. Whenever there's a change in our lives, there's always something we're moving toward, and there's always something we're leaving behind. That's why even something good, like arguing less with your partner, can still be stressful. Arguing can be a reminder that we care about each other, right? Arguing lets you know where you stand, with no hidden agendas. And perhaps arguing is a habit. Arguing less might suddenly feel like maybe the other person doesn't care enough to argue anymore. Maybe the relationship is no longer important enough to argue about. Maybe one or both partners are withdrawing from the relationship. Of course, that's stressful. Whenever there's a change in our lives, there is something we're moving toward and something we're leaving behind. And that's where the stress is. That moment of standing in the doorway, leaving the warmth and comfort of what is familiar. Good or bad, the familiar is often comfortable. Leaving that warmth and comfort behind to step across the threshold into the cold of what is unknown. That unknown, good or bad, is usually cold in the beginning, usually uncomfortable and oftentimes frustrating, at least in the beginning. So one of the items on the stress scale is a change in church activities. The ways in which church communities particularly struggle with change are so well known that there are many books written on the subject. The required reading on this topic for those of us preparing for Unitarian Universalist ministry is called Leading Change in the Congregation by Gilbert Rendell. Rendell tells us that congregations have two essential fears: the fear of too much change and the fear of too little change. He elaborates, the fear of too much change is the fear of being out of control. The fear of too little change is the fear that we may become stagnant as a faith community, that our tradition will not speak to people living in a culture that has rushed past the way many of our congregations share and practice our faith. And there we are again, at that moment of standing in the doorway. Behind us is the warmth and comfort of what is familiar. It feels safe, but routine also has its dangers. Across that threshold and outside is the bracing cold of the unknown. It feels dangerous, but risk also has its rewards. Do we go forward, or do we stay put? It can be immobilizing when we actually have a choice. I think part of why change is so difficult is because we don't often feel that we have a choice. Life happens. 2/3 of the events on the stress scale are events that typically happen to us, not events we choose for ourselves. So life tosses us around a bit. We deal with illness and death, unemployment, loved ones moving away, a world that often feels unjust. And then we come here to our church community. We come seeking respite, solace, and some measure of calm against the storm outside. This is the place we come for comfort and familiarity. And when we have a choice, we often prefer the safety of routine to the dangers of risk, especially here in our church home. This is the work that the leaders of this congregation struggle with every day. How do we continue to move the congregation forward, to grow, to take risks, to try new things? How do we lead the congregation while soothing, not eliminating, but soothing the inevitable fear and anxiety and even anger that always arises whenever there is a change? This is the never-ending work of your board members, your committee chairs, and your clergy, trying to gauge how much change the congregation can tolerate before it simply becomes too much. So I want to reassure you at this point in the sermon that I'm not about to announce a big change. This would be a great sermon for that, but that's not what we're doing. We're just talking. We're just talking about change, so we're okay. Take a breath if you need to. Gil Rendell tells us that the fear of too much change is the fear that something important will be lost. The fear of too much change is the fear that something important will be lost. Here is where we come, seeking respite, solace, and calm against the storm. Of course, we don't want to lose what brings us comfort. When change threatens our peace of mind, our response can feel intangible, just a sense of panic and that primal sort of feeling that I like things the way they were have to change it. And the hard part is, no matter how we resist it, church life is all about change and all about loss. Beloved congregants pass away. Staff members come and then go. Children grow up. Congregants move away. People step into leadership positions for a few years at the center of congregational life and then step down and out of the limelight. The young and sprightly become less young and less sprightly. Each of these is a change, and each of these a loss. Whenever there is a change in our lives, there is something we move towards and something we leave behind. What we are moving toward today is church life without me as your intern minister. Next for me is that I will be summer minister at our Unitarian Universalist congregation in Marin. 2 Sundays from now, you will come here for worship, and I won't be here to greet you or to help lead. And that same Sunday, I will go to preach and lead worship at a different congregation. And that will feel very strange to me, indeed. Now, for many of you, my leaving may feel less like stepping into the unknown and more like returning to the warm and comfortable. Many of you were accustomed to church life without an intern minister, and perhaps you are eager to return to the way things used to be, whatever that means to you. But the thing about change, really, is that it can't be undone. We don't get to go back into the cocoon. My leaving will not return anyone here to who you were in August. My leaving will not return the congregation to who you were last August. We've had a year to worship together in your renovated space. We've sung together. Maybe, hopefully, one of my sermons got you thinking something about something you hadn't thought about before. Those experiences don't disappear. Life changes us, transforms us, and we change and transform each other. I, too, am changed by my time here. I have been changed by knowing you, just as you have hopefully been changed by knowing me. My last bit of work as your intern minister is to let you go. The intern manual reads, having a clear and finite end to the internship is a significant yet sometimes overlooked aspect of the intern's experience. In part because interns need to encounter the emotions associated with saying goodbye, it is customary for the intern not to maintain any contact with members of the teaching site for at least a year. Ministry is fundamentally about service to a congregation. When an intern has the opportunity to cope successfully with the grief that is part of leaving, it enables me to gain that understanding of ministry as service. This is why I won't be able to accept invitations from you after I'm gone, or to come back to guest preach, or even to call and ask how you're doing. Katie and I have agreed that it's okay for me to remain Facebook friends with those of you I'm connected to that way. But you'll even see there that I won't be replying to your posts very often, at least not this first year, because I'm not your minister anymore. In the sorrow of saying goodbye, it is easy to fear that something important is about to be lost. Many of you have shared with me how my ministry has touched you, how a prayer has moved you, how a sermon message has stayed with you, how something I wrote in the newsletter was meaningful to you. And I want you to know how much it has meant to me to get to know you, to share your joys and sorrows, to look out from the pulpit and see faces I know. I fear this loss, and it will be a loss. But this is what I want us to remember. We cannot lose the love we have shared. And that's why we don't need to fear change at church. We don't really need to worry about losing something important. What makes this a place of respite, solace, and calm against the storm is our shared love. And it cannot be changed, and it cannot be lost. There is no going back to who we were in August. We are losing each other going forward, but we cannot lose what has already been. As the poet tells us, if I can lose what I lose to keep what I can keep, the strong root still alive under the snow, love will.